Well, over the last 3 months, we've been going through this very important sermon that Luke records for us in Luke chapter 6. And the main point of this sermon is to describe Jesus's upside-down, countercultural kingdom. And specifically, it describes the characteristic of those who are part of his upside-down kingdom. Now, it's important for us to understand that Jesus' sermon is not giving a list of things that need to be done in order to enter into his kingdom. Rather, he is indicating what is expected of those who are part, who are already in his kingdom. And now this morning, we finally come to the conclusion of his great sermon. How is Jesus going to wrap everything up? What are his concluding marks going to be on such a foundational teaching? Well, his final remarks of this important sermon are a warning that has eternal ramifications. At the heart of this warning is a tale of two houses, or we could say a tale of two builders. And we will see that what matters most is the foundation that the builders have built their house on. So today's sermon will be fairly straightforward. We will be contrasting the two types of houses and their respective builders. And we'll be exploring what Jesus means with this illustration and the internal implications for us today. But before I get into describing the two contrasting houses and builders, let me just make a brief note on the primary intention of this passage. This passage of the two builders, and in fact the previous passage on the two types of trees, the intention is to lead to self-examination. Jesus primarily wants us to listen to his words and then examine our own hearts on the matter. He wants us to examine our lives and determine, are we good trees bearing good fruit or bad trees bearing bad fruit? Are we a house that is building on a solid rock foundation, or are we a house that is being built on sand with no foundation? His primary intent is for this teaching is to be self-examining and reflective. Now, we could use these two passages in order to evaluate others. We can prayerfully and graciously and carefully evaluate someone else's life in order to make some preliminary determination if they are a good tree bearing good fruit or a bad tree bearing bad fruit, or if they've built their house on the rock or if they built their house on sand. And that calls certainly for wisdom and discernment and prayer, but it can be done. But what I believe that this passage does allow for us to evaluate others, I encourage everyone here to listen to Jesus' words, to listen to this sermon, and not be thinking about other people's trees and houses. Follow Jesus' primary intent, which is for us to be self-reflective on these matters. So as you listen, don't be quick to say, oh, well, so-and-so doesn't have their house built on the rock. Rather, humbly and honestly evaluate yourself. And so with that said, let's begin now. Let's get into it. And let's look at the first of the two types of houses and the builders that are contrasted in this passage. And we see that Jesus teaches us that your house will stand if it is built on the rock. Your house will stand if it is built on the rock. You see, the first builder in Jesus' illustration is the person that comes to Jesus, that hears his word, and that subsequently puts it into practice. He is not a hearer of the word only, but a doer of it as well. And Jesus likens this person to someone building a house. As verse 48 says, take a look at verse 48 in chapter 6. He says, he digs deep and lays the foundation on the rock. And because his foundation was so solid, since it was established on the rock, then when the river overflowed and crashed against the house, it held fast. It did not come crashing down when the river came crashing against it. The force of the flood was not strong enough to knock the house off its foundation. Now, the meaning of this illustration is quite straightforward. The house built on the rock is like a person who hears Jesus' teaching and builds their life on Jesus and on his word. So the house is representative of a person's life, and the foundation is representative of Jesus, the solid rock foundation is representative of Jesus and his teachings. And so therefore, to be like the house built on the solid rock foundation is to be a person who comes to Jesus, who hears his word, and then who actually puts it into practice. And because their foundation is in Christ and entrusting in his words, then when the storms of life hit, they are not able to come, they do not come crumbling down. They are able to stand in the storm. The one who builds his life on Jesus will withstand all storms. Now, what exactly does it mean to build your life on Jesus, to build your house on the rock? Well, it means to submit to the authority of Jesus in all of God's word over all of your life. You don't just pick and choose certain aspects and passages from Scripture that you will like and then throw out the ones that you don't like. It means that you rest on his promises and trust that he will do exactly what he say he will do, even if it's hard to understand how he is working your life. To build your life on Christ is to genuinely love Christ and to want to know and to love him more. You love his teachings rather than resent them as restrictive or as a joy-killing burden. It means that you earnestly desire to follow Christ and obey his commands. And out of that desire, you work with all of your might to pursue holiness and to fight and combat sin. To build your life on Christ is to love God for God's sake, not for the blessings and the comforts that he offers you. In other words, you don't love God just because you will receive some blessing in return. Rather, you love God because he is God and because he is worthy, supremely worthy and deserving of our love and affection. You love him whether you receive blessings from him in the here and now or not. To build your life on Christ is to live a life that brings glory and honor and thanksgiving to his name. Simply put, to build your life on Christ is to trust him and his teachings exclusively. It is to submit to him and his authority over every aspect of your life. How you parent your children, how you love and treat your spouse, how you talk with your family members or neighbors or coworkers, how you treat others who are different from you, how you act in public, how you act in private when no one sees, how you spend your money. Every aspect is done in submission to Christ and his authority and is obedient to his words and commands. This is what it looks like to build and establish your life upon Christ. And if the foundation of your life is the solid rock that is Christ, then you will be able to stand no matter what the storm of life hits you. Every storm that comes into your life, you will be able to weather because you are standing and rooted upon Christ, the solid rock. Now the storms of life or the various trials and sufferings that God has allowed to enter into your life, you are able to weather those trials and those storms because your foundation is Christ and you trust Him and His Word. When a financial crisis hits you and you're not sure how you're going to make ends meet, you weather the storm by trusting God's promise that He will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory for those who are in Christ Jesus, as we read in Philippians 4:19. Or that just as God provides for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, how much more will He care for you of greater value? When the storm of cancer comes into your life, you withstand that storm by trusting in the promise that God is for you and not against you, and that He will certainly never leave you nor forsake you. You trust and rest on the reality that God is good, and He is sovereignly in control, even over every cancer cell that is in your body. When you are engulfed by a tidal wave of doubt and confusion, you weather the storm by running to Jesus and reminding yourself that His Word is trustworthy and true, that He has the words of eternal life, and that He has compassion for those who doubt, as we see His tender compassion toward Peter and Thomas when they doubted. When the dark clouds of depression, anxiety, and loneliness move over your life, you endure through that trial by trusting the promise that God is with you, that once again that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you trust that He is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You rest on the promise that God, that you are God's beloved child whom He loves. When a hurricane of self-pity and despair crashes into your life, you endure the storm by preaching to your soul, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." When storm after storm after storm whips through your life and you are struggling just to stand the onslaught, you endure through these trials by trusting that God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purposes. You trust that our sovereign God has a good plan that He is accomplishing for His glory, even if you don't understand why it is happening to you. And when you are nearing the end of your life, and you lay in a hospital bed, and you are in tremendous pain and discomfort, and you may even be filled with fear, you weather the storm by reminding yourself, or Lord willing, someone by your bed reminding you, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me by still waters. He leads me to green pastures. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because You are with me." You endure by trusting God when He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And though each of these storms beat against your house and maybe tear off some of the shutters, even though the thunder is deafeningly loud and the lightning is intimidatingly close, even though the winds are so severe that they're ripping up trees around you, you stand because your life is built on the solid rock that is Christ. But let's not forget about the ultimate storm that will enter into the life of every person without exception. a storm that makes every other trial pale in comparison. I'm talking about the storm of God's final judgment. But for the person who has built their house on the rock, who built their lives on Christ, they will weather the storm of the final judgment. Because they are rooted in Christ, because they are united with Christ, because they have built their life upon Christ and His Word, then the fury of God's judgment will pass over them. Why? Because Jesus already took the fury of God's wrath for their sins on the cross. And so if you rest on the promise that He has already paid for the penalty of your sins on the cross, if you have built your life trusting in Him and on this promise, then when the final storm of God's judgment comes, your house will stand. But it won't stand because of your effort, but because of your foundation in Christ. The one who builds their life on Jesus will withstand all storms, including the final storm of God's judgment. And now, let's take a look at the second house and the second builder. Let's read the passage once more so that Jesus' words are fresh in our minds. This is Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." And so Jesus teaches us that your house will fall if it is not built on the rock. Your house will fall if it is not built on the rock. Let me first draw your attention to the fact that there are many similarities between the two houses and the two builders. Both houses are built in the same environmental conditions. Both houses face the same storms. For all intents and purposes, these two houses look identical from the outside. Notice also that both builders are very similar. They have both come to Jesus. They have both listened to His teaching. But even though these houses and builders share much in common, what makes them different is what leads to the catastrophically different outcomes. The difference between the two houses is that the first is built on a strong, solid rock foundation, while the second is not grounded on any foundation. And the difference between the two builders is that the first listens to Jesus' teaching and obeys Him, while the second listens only but does not obey. Where they differ is the actual practice of doing His word. Now, this is significant for us to understand because the second builder is not primarily a description of an atheist or an agnostic who wants nothing to do with Jesus and who never comes to Jesus in the first place. Rather, Jesus is talking about the people who have come to Jesus, who have heard His teaching, and yet who've left unchanged. They have left Jesus and have decided that, you know, He's just not worth following. He's a good moral teacher, but I'll follow my own rules, thank you very much. Certainly, the ruinous fall does await the atheist and the agnostic as well. But this is a wake-up call for those who have heard Jesus' teaching and think they are good with him just because they can recite some of his teachings but not live it out in practice. And so this type of builder has not built their house on a solid rock foundation, but rather has laid down no foundation. In other words, this person's life is not built on Christ, but rather is built on anything else other than Christ. And so what does it mean to build your life without any foundation on Christ? It is a life in which you pick and choose which passages of Scripture you want to read and follow. Those talking about God's love and his blessings are the ones that you read, but the ones on God's judgment and wrath are the ones that you avoid. It's a life in which you don't really desire to know, serve, and worship God. You just want God's blessings and the things that God can give you, but you don't want God himself. It means that you don't want to be like Christ, you just want to be comfortable. A life without the foundation of Christ is a life that is established upon the ever-changing, ever-shifting sands of popular societal opinion. It's a life that is built upon seemingly good works and deeds. To build your life without the foundation of Christ is to live a life that is centered around your own wants and your own desires. It is a life that seeks to bring glory to your own name and not the name of Christ. Simply put, to build your life on anything other than the firm foundation of Jesus is decisively to not trust him and his teaching. It is to reject him and his authority over every aspect of your life. In the end, you will not submit to Christ as your Lord, and so you don't set him up as the foundation of your life. It's why Jesus says in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" If they would submit to him as Lord, then they would submit to his teaching and do what he says. But they don't. Their lips are calling him Lord, but their lives are not giving evidence to that fact, that he is their Lord. And so they reveal that in fact they are fake or phony believers. They are the trees that bear bad fruit with maybe some good fruit stapled onto them. They are rooted in unbelief and not rooted in Christ. The foundation of their life is decisively not Christ. And so what happens when storms and trials of life crash down on the house that is not founded upon Christ? Well, it's like what my son finds out when he builds Legos with only one or two bricks at the bottom. Soon enough, that tower is going to come crashing down. With no foundation, his blocks, his Legos come crashing to the ground. And in the same way, Jesus says their destruction is swift and great. Let's read verse 49 again. Verse 49, Jesus ends his teaching, this sermon, saying, "But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." When the trials and hardships come, their life collapses like a house of cards. They don't have a rock-solid foundation to ground them when their life is turned upside down by financial problems or marital issues or medical problems or personal tragedies. And all they have is soft, sinking sand that immediately gives way as soon as you apply any pressure. Without Christ, they don't have an anchor to steady their boat in the storm. And as a result, their boat capsizes. They can't cope with trials and hardships because they don't have a certain hope to cling on to when the storm rages on in their life. And as a result, they are more prone to suffer from despair, depression, confusion, and anger when the storms of life crash against their house. With no foundation, specifically without the foundation of Christ, they are not in a position to weather any storm. And listen, if this is the case for the storms of life, how much more so for the ultimate storm of God's final judgment that is hovering just off the coast? If they are not rooted in Christ, if Christ is not their sure and steady anchor, if they have not built their life on the solid rock foundation that is Christ, then great and immediate will be their fall at the final judgment. Their life, which is founded on nothing of substance but shifting sand, will come crashing down in great ruin when God impartially judges every human being. Their good works will not save them in the final judgment. Simply hearing the words of Jesus will not save them in the final judgment. Merely calling Jesus Lord, Lord, and yet not establishing their life upon Christ will not save them. Here is the warning that Jesus gives to his listeners at the end of this great sermon in Luke 6. This is his warning. If you hear my words only and do not put them into practice, you will be condemned for all eternity in hell. Your house will not stand the onslaught of the wrath of God towards sin if your house is built on anything else other than me and my words. But there is a way of escape. If you were to just build your life on me, if you were to submit to me as your Lord and as your Savior, if you would allow my commands to be the ultimate authority in your life, then and only then will you be safe from the final storm of God's judgment. Listen, if you are part of Jesus' upside-down kingdom, then your life will be characterized by Jesus' teaching here in the sermon in Luke 6. You will not only come and listen to Jesus, but you will do what he says. And in doing so, you will show yourself to truly be that he is truly Lord over all of your life and the foundation upon which you are building your life on. And upon that foundation, you will withstand all storms, including the storm of the final judgment. You will cling to Christ as your sure and steady anchor. But if you are not part of his upside-down kingdom, then your life will superficially be characterized by the words of Jesus' sermon here in Luke 6. You might do them when they are convenient for you, or when you receive some sort of blessing or benefit for doing so. But you don't do what he says out of love for him or a desire to follow him. And as a result, the storms will reveal that your foundation is not Christ, but rather is the shifting, unstable sand. Jesus warns, your house will fall if it is not built upon Christ. The one who does not build their life on Jesus will be destroyed by the storm most significantly, the storm of God's final judgment. Let me close with one last illustration. It's a story of a lumberjack who went into a grove of trees, and he was going to cut down the trees over the next couple of weeks. And as he's walking through the grove, he notices that there was this mother bird who was beginning to build her nest in one of the trees. She was going to lay her eggs there, and soon the eggs would hatch, and she would raise and take care of her chicks in that tree. Now, the lumberjack knew what she did not know, that in a couple of days, that tree was going to come down. And so, what he did was he struck the tree with the side of his axe and rattled the poor bird until she left the tree and went to another one. And then he followed her and rattled that tree until she left that one, and the next one, and the next one, so on and so on. I'm sure this poor bird was thinking to herself, "What in the world is this lumberjack doing to me?" Well, finally, she flew up into a rock and started to make her nest there. And knowing that she was finally safe from danger that she didn't even know was coming, the lumberjack was satisfied. Now you see, every tree in this world is coming down. Every single tree in this world is coming down. And if you are building your life in one of these trees, that is, if you are trusting in anything of this world more than God, then you will lose. Putting your confidence in anything of this world is like building your nest in a tree that is most certainly going to be chopped down. Your only hope is to build upon the unchanging, unshakable rock, which is Christ. Your only hope is to not put your confidence in the flesh, but rather to place your hope in Christ. Trust in Christ and his work on the cross to rescue you from your sin and give you the right standing before God. It is only when you trust in Christ that you will see that he is the only foundation worth building upon. Only when you truly submit to Christ and his authority in calling him Lord, that you will see that he is the sure and steady anchor that you cling on to for your soul. Only when you live under the authority and direction of Christ will your life be built on a foundation that is strong enough to withstand the fury of God's wrath at the final judgment. Now, if you're a believer, then keep building on that foundation that is Christ. Submit to him as Lord and live a life of obedience to him that shows the world that you are a follower of Christ. Show the world through radical love that you are a member of his upside-down countercultural kingdom. And if you are an unbeliever this morning or watching online, then there is still time for you to build your house on the rock, which is Christ. But let me tell you, the time is now, because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the rest of the day. Our life is but a vapor. So stop building your life on shifting sand. And instead, submit to Jesus as your Lord and as the ultimate authority in your life. Build your life upon Jesus by trusting him explicitly. For the one who builds his life on Jesus will withstand all storms, including the final judgment. But the one who does not build their life on Jesus will be destroyed by the storm. Most significantly, the storm of the final judgment. And so here's the crucial question we must ask ourselves. Remember, this sermon is self-reflective. We must ask ourselves as we conclude this sermon and Jesus' sermon as a whole, this question you must ask yourself. Are you here today building your nest in a tree? Are you here today building your house on the sand? Or are you building it upon the rock? Let's pray. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came to live the life that we could not live, a life of perfect obedience to you. And he died the death that we deserve to die. And if we were just to trust in him, believe that he is our Savior, our Lord, and build our life upon him, then we are declared righteous in your sight. We will be with you forever and ever, rejoicing and glorifying and worshiping you. We thank you for Jesus. We ask God for forgiveness for when we build upon other foundations and look to other things for comfort and security. Forgive us, Father. Help us to flee from those things and instead run and build our life upon Christ. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon him, to delight in him, and to worship him, and to live our lives in submission to him and his authority. Holy Spirit, give us the strength to do that. And Holy Spirit, I pray for those that are unbelieving now, that you would come into their hearts and cause them to be born again. And would they seek and Savior Jesus Christ and build upon him. Our Lord and our God, we love you. We thank you for your great love for us, that you would send your Son to die on our behalf, to free us from our sin, so that we could worship you truthfully. Help us, God, to fix our eyes upon your Son, to live a life built upon him. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things, Christ Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.